Hello, I'm Eddie.
I'm Meg.
I'm Donovan.
And this week on the podcast is our annual, annual spooky stories by the campfire.
Yeah, we're out here by the campfire. We're stinking it up just for you.
I kind of like the smell of campfire, but
yeah,
that's
I'm no anti-campfire smell.
It's because you're raised in the city.
Yeah, it is. We'll talk about all this and more today on the podcast.
Talk about how Donovan implied that if you're from the country, you were traumatized by the smell of campfires and now
right,
eat them.
Right, yeah. You've had enough of it.
Yeah, I have had enough. Kind of like rice and beans. But I could never have another refried bean in my life and I would be fine.
That sounds awful. That sounds like an awful life.
Without refried beans?
Yeah.
It's fine. Don't worry. Trust me. I've already had enough. I've had the fill of two of your...
So how do you refry a bean?
So you mash it after it's been cooked. You have
before,
it fresh
right?
pinto oh, okay. one day, and it's all nice and good. It's similar to fried rice in that the next day you mash up your leftover beans, and then you just throw them in a pan with some lard and cook them for a while. Then if they aren't thick enough, you throw in your cheddar cheese.
Hmm.
Wow. Sounds delicious.
Manteca. That's lard.
Yeah.
White
I mean,
cap.
Pinto beans are definitely the more classic bean for refried beans.
Yeah, I've never had a refried black bean, I don't believe.
Oh, okay. They definitely sell canned refried
yeah.
black beans at the store, but the pinto bean is the
You know
way
what's
to go.
Good is to mix a can of refried black beans with a can of refried pinto beans, and then you get like a refried bean jambalaya. It's pretty good.
I mean, I guess a pinto... yeah, I get that. I think a pinto bean is more like... probably has more starch in it than a black bean.
I like a whole pinto bean. You know, just some cowboy beans.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
But I'm saying, like, you can really taste the... I feel like you can taste the protein and the starch of a pinto bean more than a black bean. They're just bigger and fuller.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You
got
to talk into the mic.
Oh, sorry.
Talk into the mic,
I'm
son.
Getting too relaxed here by the campfire, which I'm not traumatized by because I'm
oh,
from the
great.
City.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, we're all over here, so maybe move the whole stand so that you can, like, face us and talk to us.
Oh, okay.
Because that seems to be what you're trying to do.
I'll just...
It'll be fine.
Pay more attention.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Okay.
So, yep. We're here. We're supposed to be... It's October, though it's not that cool yet, so it doesn't feel that autumnal.
It's a lot cooler than it was yesterday, though.
That's true. I think...
this is like, yeah, it feels like fall out here. Whereas, like, the last couple of days, it's like back to summer.
And we had this new thing where hurricanes hit Athens, so...
Yeah.
We just got our second hurricane, or remnant of a hurricane.
Something.
It was intense. I grew up with hurricanes, and maybe I'm traumatized by them because I had so many hurricanes. Kind of like campfires.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
And refried beans.
Yeah. I also grew up with refried beans, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, last night I woke up at 2 o'clock, which was the literal calm before the storm. And I was thinking, is there going to be a hurricane tonight? This is, yeah, that's how I talk to myself. There's going to be a hurricane tonight? Uh-huh.
Yes, there is, Eddie.
So I Googled it, and I was, like, looking at the map, and then I was, like, I just got worried that, like, a limb was going to fall through the house. So then I got into, like, this protector mode and kind of just, like, listened to the whole hurricane, and I'm like, oh, that was a strong gust.
So is
and I've
your,
done this before, and like,
I can totally relate to the midnight worries.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if you have follow-through on those worries. Like, today, do you go call somebody to cut down some limbs in our yard that might potentially fall in the house? Or do you just
no.
be like, yeah, that was dumb to worry about that?
Well, last year when we had the tropical storm, I cut down some limbs. And so I did the job back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I could cut down more limbs, but, you know.
Probably ought to cut down more limbs.
I had some peace of mind, though, already from having cut down okay. limbs at some point. Because we did have limbs that were scratching against our roof, kind of making like a
oh, yeah.
noise. And we didn't have that, so that was pretty nice. But, yeah, I did come out in the morning and, like, look at the roof and, like, check everything out.
Yeah.
And
anything happen over at your house, Donovan?
Nope.
God, now I understand why I should move the mic.
I was
yeah,
expecting.
That's what I was saying.
maybe a little flooding, but no flooding. Everything seems to be normal. No hail damage.
Right.
Oh, right. The basement kind of floods.
Mm-hmm. The dungeon. Sometimes the captives will drown, but luckily this time they just got a little bit of foot rot.
Not to death,
so
right? Like they'll drown,
but
then
better
recover.
Than death.
There's a couple that we're gonna put out. Their execution is at dawn, so we're not going to amputate their feet. But our one long term prisoner who got the jungle rot, we're going to have to, take those feet away.
Is that what those people are doing at your house? I didn't know that. I didn't realize that was. I thought that was a joke. I didn't realize it was an actual dungeon.
Yeah. Down there. That's that's
well,
not
I
where the water
laugh.
Heater
that's
is,
terrible.
Meg. There's no water heater down there.
It's funny because my mom just texted me right now, and I had told Meg about this text earlier because of the hurricane. My mom was like texting me being like, you need to, like, if we have a generator, if the power goes out, we'll bring it up there. And like, she was really worried. And so this morning I texted her, no damage, only a little debris. And then she wrote, yay, it tore up Pensacola. And I thought, like, out of context, that's a pretty funny text because it's just like, yeah, it tore up Pensacola.
You got those motherfuckers.
So just now she texted me, reread the comment above, meant yay for no damages at your place.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you know.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty crazy that she actually caught that.
And it's crazy that she's in Florida where there's more damage than her worried about coming up here.
Yeah. But
oh, yeah. And if it were if the roles were reversed, we'd be like, are you going to be okay with this hurricane? And she's like, oh, we got it covered.
Yeah. Like, Florida, I don't really worry about Floridians and hurricanes because they're so... It's like a part of every year. It's like, oh, it's hurricane season. I remember, you know, they cancel school and stuff. I remember one year it was like I was in college and they're like, we're going to cancel school, but everything after 8 p.m. or something like that. And it was like they were trying to squeeze in as many classes as they could before they had to like cancel.
That's like, pretty cool to think about how there are just parts of the of the country that routinely gets like big weather events, and they've just prepared against it to where it's like, oh, we actually just know how to deal with this pretty well,
yeah,
to a degree, because like her, you know, with like Katrina, it's like, oh, they probably had some, yeah, they had measures. Their measures just
right.
weren't big enough, like,
yeah, and then there's like. There's also, like, people with Katrina, for example, that are too cocky, and they're like, I'm not leaving, and then they just
yeah.
die, because you got to know when to quit.
Right. True. And but also, you just have a better gauge. You also just have a better gauge for that, because you've seen them before, and if it looks much bigger, you're like, okay, I'm not prepared for this.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, my my point is just that I grew up in a part of the country where... We weren't prepared for any.
Oh yeah,
any danger? Yeah, like
no campfires.
There was talk.
No.
Of,
yeah,
there was a lot of talk of earthquake stuff, but
oh yeah,
you know, if a big earthquake a big earthquake hitting is a pretty rare event, but it's just so devastating. So it's almost not really something you can prepare for.
That one in San Francisco happened in your lifetime, though.
Yeah,
right?
But it didn't rock us.
Huh.
You want me to put a log on the fire, Eddie, or I think it's going to smolder otherwise.
Oh yeah, use a little stick. Stick action.
All right, and then maybe we can get ready for the trivia corner
right,
once I return.
Yeah. I think that's perfect timing.
Lest you and me rap while Donovan's doing this thing.
All right, I'll hit that beat.
No, that's not what I meant.
Oh. Yeah, no, I remember.
Should I have just tried to freestyle rap? It would have been so terrible, but I was I would not have tried it. I was too scared.
Yeah, no, you didn't have to, especially if you know it's not going to be good. Like,
yeah.
But a classic one that you can always get away with is, "My name is Meg, and I'm here to say," and then
yeah.
That one's classic.
That's the basic template for rapping.
It's classic enough to where if you hear it, you're like, cheesy, but good. Good on you for, like, going for it.
I should have gone for it.
Maybe next time. Maybe next year.
Okay, don't do it again right now because I still don't want to do it.
Yeah. Earthquakes are scary, though. I wonder, like...
Oh, earthquakes are terrifying.
I bet there are people who are like, yeah, no, earthquakes are earthquakes. Whatever. I get one a day.
Nobody gets one a day. That's the thing. It's like, yeah, you can have tremors, but when the earth really quakes, like, I don't know. You
Johnny,
better hope you're just lucky as to where you are.
Hey, Donnie, yeah. Right outside the fence here is a huge pile of sticks. And there's a light over there, too.
You didn't
dry any wood off? I did, but it's all... big logs under there. And it was the kindling I used to start the whole damn thing.
Okay, we gotta keep it up here if you don't want to hear about where the firewood is, you know?
Mm. This happens every year. I think we usually take a break during this podcast because it's like so intense, the amount of work we have to do to maintain a fire.
It is intense.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's why people just have gas... guests fireplaces. They don't want to put more wood in there.
Yeah, because if you think about it, like, you get the same effect. Like,
not really. No,
I guess not.
No, the cry. The
you don't get the breaking conversation.
True. Yeah, but I feel like that's that brings depth to it. It brings depth to the ambiance of the podcast. But yeah, it's like. You know, before people had television, you literally can watch a fire.
Oh yeah,
and be entertained.
Fire is pretty sick. Like,
no, you can't watch a gas stove fire, but you can watch a campfire.
It's definitely been going on for a long time. What we're doing right now, which makes it a little spooky, right?
Oh yeah,
like a lot of dead people have sat around fires.
So many. Yeah, it's going right at you.
Love it.
I'm glad you didn't wear your nice
shirt. What has happened to you at a campsite before?
Yeah. Hopefully we'll find out during the spooky story.
I'm pretty terrified.
Okay, so let's move on to our segments. What's the order? Snacks Shack?
Sure.
Let me find
My mouth is watering just thinking about our Snack Shack.
Yeah, so a few weeks ago we talked about I was making some tarragon vinegar, and now it's come to...
fruition?
Yeah, I guess, is that fruition would be...
I don't know, I don't think that's...
I think
the,
that it's fully developed.
Not, okay.
The flavor is fully developed of the tarragon vinegar. So I'm going to hand it to Eddie here, and if he'll take a sip, then I'll hand it to you, Meg.
Okay.
You'll save your comments until... after.
This is Dr. Sharp's Snack Shack.
Maybe a better word would have been coalesced. It coalesced into perfection. Dr. Sharp would know. She should call.
Mm.
What's our number?
706-521-3716. Oh, it did it again.
Whoa! That's got a kick.
He said no comment.
Oh, sorry. I couldn't help myself. I mean, it's the flavor is still very strong in my mouth.
So
even
go,
to this
go through
time.
It beat by beat.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. How was it for you? I knew it was vinegar.
Good. I mean, it's like, that was incredibly flavorful. And I did feel like it was a, what do you call this sense of taste?
Bitter.
No, the experience, it was like a really good mouth experience. I think they call that a mouthgasm, but that's, I really didn't want to say that.
Yeah, thank you for not.
Yeah, I smelled it, and then I thought, well, I'm drinking gin, and that's kind of a strong flavor already. I'm not going to taste much.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got in there, and I was like, whoa.
So what's this? What are the taste receptors on the back and the outside of your tongue?
Yeah, those really lighting up right now?
Yes.
Back and the outside?
Yeah, right here.
I know, like, outside is sour.
That's
are you
out
that?
Of bounds and goal line, I'm pretty sure.
But
are
I like it. Okay, so
right
it
there?
It definitely smelled like vinegar, and then I drank it, and I tasted the vinegar immediately, and it was a lot stronger vinegar than I thought it would taste, and then it was like also a little bit spicy.
Did you taste a little bit of licorice, maybe? That's the tarragon, is that little bit of licorice flavor in there. Almost sagey.
I didn't really taste that. But there were, like the juniper from the gin probably drowned that out.
It is a little peppery. Did you taste any pepperiness?
Like black pepper or red pepper?
Well, just peppery, you know, almost like a gin would be peppery.
See, okay, my problem here is that I don't know that I've ever just drank vinegar other than apple cider vinegar. So I don't really know what a base vinegar taste is. So maybe I'm just experiencing the full force of vinegar.
I think there's actually a lot of flavors in there because it is spicy as well.
Oh, it's very spicy.
I think just a shot of straight white vinegar, which is the base of that, you would want to spit it out immediately.
Okay. Mm. Oh, it's just white vinegar? It's not anything fancy?
It's white vinegar, tarragon, garlic cloves, a little bit of black pepper cloves, and some arbol peppers, maybe two arbol pepper pods.
How would you recommend someone use this?
A seafood, probably.
Like soak your seafood in or just dip it in the
top? To make it like a remoulade.
Vinegar is an acid. Oh. Is that right?
Or to take it for dipping with bread, I would recommend maybe someone take it and then you dip it in bread and then maybe like a garlic powder or like a parmesan. And eat it that way.
Sounds
would
really
you
good.
Ever like bulk it up with like a cream?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. For a remoulade, you bulk it up with a cream and maybe a little bit of what are those little peppercorn? Not peppercorns, but fucking they're green, and you get them on your lox bagel.
Capers.
Capers, yeah, some capers on there.
Okay. What is a remoulade? Where do you put that? Where do you use that? It's a sauce?
It's a sauce. It's a white sauce. It's almost like a tartar sauce. Remoulades and tartar sauces are very similar.
Oh.
Yeah, and that I could see using that on the fish for sure.
Yeah.
Or
even with a little bit of tomato and pepper on a piece of crostini.
Do you think it's
nice
standalone enough for like a ceviche? Like if you had a lot of it?
Yes.
That'd be pretty good, I think.
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
Nice.
Is ceviche always shrimp, or can you do
no,
other?
No, there's bits of white fish in there, as well as porpa.
Is that another kind of fish?
Octopus.
Oh.
Okay, that was the Snack Shack.
It was delicious.
Next up
I don't know
is,
that I call that a snack, though.
Cool Don's 3 bags full of trivia. This week on the trivia, I'm the host, Eddie.
Okay.
And 3-time champion of trivia.
3 times? Wow.
I think so.
Okay.
I've done pretty well.
You did well that one.
The only reason I know, and it's not like I'm keeping score, but I do write the description when I upload the podcast, and I always write like
Eddie,
how everyone did.
I wasn't worried about you keeping score.
All right, let's hear the question, champ.
Okay.
I don't care if you win. I hope you win.
This is factor crap. So in this card, I guess you I guess you answer fact or crap.
Yeah,
that, right?
Yeah, those aren't my favorite. Multiple choice.
Will you redraw?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You just, we can't
you know,
give
I
you the.
I could do this any way I wanted to.
Oh, yeah, then do fact or crap.
I just feel like we can't give you the zany answers you're looking for to a yes or no question.
Like another fact or crap.
Wow. All right. Let's do it then.
In Washington, D.C., you can visit the museums. You can visit museums to see the gun that killed Lincoln and bits of his skull.
Fact.
That sounds like a fact to me.
It's a fact.
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear the next one.
The next fact or crap?
Yeah, well,
it's up to you.
There's three questions there. So ask the other two
on the
card.
I'm going to the next card.
Okay.
Next fact or crap.
The Carnegie Science Center's Titanic exhibit temporarily closed in June 2008 because it was flooded.
False.
I'm going to say true.
No, you say fact or
crap?
Crap. Fact.
Crap.
And the answer on this one is fact.
Yes!
Bullshit.
Oh, man. That Carnegie Center was flooded.
Probably with feces.
With what?
It's feces. Funny, though, because it was the Titanic.
Human fecal matter?
Oh, feces. Okay.
But the irony being that it was the Titanic exhibit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought, why would they even ask this if it weren't true? It's like a weird thing to make up.
Trivial pursuit.
Well, I guess just Meg gets to answer this one.
Yeah, yep. Meg, for all the bones.
Bones, bones, bones.
Dig them up. Here, I'm turning my mic off.
Will you go check and see if the kids are crying?
What 1926? Okay, so this is Genus 4. What 1926 novel caused Ernest Hemingway to be dubbed spokesman of the lost generation?
Oh, I know this one. Oh, I read this book in high school.
Okay.
What is it called?
It's got a name.
Farewell to Arms. A Farewell to Arms.
A Farewell to Arms is incorrect.
Oh, it's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Right, with, yeah, John Candy.
Yeah.
Oh, man, why can't we just
Wait,
talk about John Candy?
Right? Wait, what? I can't
now, the answer was
right.
The Sun Also Rises.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, now you can believe it.
Sorry, no beans, no bones,
screw
nada.
Him.
So, Eddie, you got some internet caca to talk about?
Two bags of trivia.
I'm,
but good job.
I'm
that was great.
I'm blaming Ernest Hemingway for my loss.
You know, I thought that one was right up your alley.
It was. I mean, I read that in high school.
You said you read the other one, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like.
Sun Also Rises, which I think is about bullfighting.
Well, it was the voice of the lost generation.
See, I needed to.
This is so much this. The most entertaining segment. No,
bullshit.
Yeah, it's. So I've recently reconnected with some high school buddies, and they're like really into video games. So they got me to download this video game called Rocket League. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, my nephew plays it.
It's like cars that play soccer.
Yep.
It's really like getting over that. I'm still getting over that about it because it's like, why not just play soccer? And then the cars like have rockets on them and they can fly, but they're cars that can fly.
Whoa.
There's a lot going on here with this game.
So did you know about
terrible.
This, Meg?
No.
I'm sorry.
I didn't know about the specifics of the game.
But I told you that like Meddler can sack
Yeah, you
the
told
game.
Me that the yeah. kids like it.
It's an interesting game and I haven't really played much of it, but like in order to like talk to these guys, I was like, I'm going to like
try.
Yeah. I'm going to try this out. And so I got into it and it's like pretty difficult. Apparently it's like one of these like esports games. So they
it
have
is.
Like, we read comments off of Twitch TV one time. So mm-hmm. there's like people that play this game for a career. Like, they make money by winning this game.
Wow.
And there's like teams, and then there's like you can watch live broadcasts like in the game. When you log in, it's like, hey, check it out, this dude's playing, and like
yep.
everyone knows his name, his nickname.
Wow.
And then you watch like that dude hit a soccer ball not even a soccer ball. It's like a, anyway, you run a car into a ball. So I played this game, and obviously I'm not very good at it.
Are you
because thinking
your
like,
friends are listening to the podcast?
Maybe, maybe not. But I already told them this story. And I was playing, and, you know, I was kind of getting into it. I was getting into the groove, and I didn't realize I was playing in, like, competitive scenarios. Leads?
Yeah.
And there's this, like, system of chatting with other people, and this is how it relates to so much this. Like, you can say, good shot, or, like,
right.
thanks, or, like, nice save, or all punctuation to indicate that you're saying, like, an expletive or something, or... like, oh, sorry, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And these are all the quick chat things. And I was doing that for a bit. I was really, like, trying to explore all of the options. And so I was playing in this competitive league, and I was doing pretty sorry on this one this one course that
so
we were
So were
doing.
They like, get out of here, fool?
Well, yeah, so... First, the guy was like, what level are you? Which I didn't understand. I don't like, I didn't know how to answer that with like my quick chats. Like, he was like typing in between rounds. And then he goes, you need to uninstall right now because I can't believe, like, I don't want what you did to me to happen to somebody else.
Oh,
and so, like,
God.
His recommendation to me was to
uninstall.
Like, I just got into this program.
Kid.
He's like, take this computer game off your computer completely.
Yeah, because you're
because you might wreck someone else's day like you did mine. And I didn't know what to say. Like, I did feel like I was sorry that I had treated this guy so poorly. But then I'm like, is this like his type of therapy to just go like kind of berate other like?
You ruined my day because I wasted my time playing a subpar video game.
Well, he was just like, he was in complete disbelief that I had played the game.
In the competitive league. He's like, what in the fuck?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you thinking?
So,
like, my gamer score has now descended down further than I ever imagined for having played this match with you, loser.
See, I think that's like,
this
you
is
know
cyber
more about
space.
It than I do, maybe. But it was
no,
like,
I think
really,
that's exactly what it is.
I felt really.
Yeah, you suicided. You kamikaze'd his
oh,
score.
Man, I missed the ball.
No, but
like,
I'm just saying,
my car flipped.
Eddie is persona non grata on the internet now.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I have a reputation. And
what's
sure
what's your name on game on Rocket League?
Not even going there.
Come on, Ed. All right, where I'm just
be
gonna
proud,
say,
Eddie.
I'm
yeah,
gonna
it's, proud.
It's Bruce Beanstein, like Albert Einstein and Bruce Springsteen.
Ay, fuck.
Okay. Oh,
well, you can find him on the PC
Rocket League.
Bruce
I'm better
Beanstein.
Now. I didn't uninstall. You know.
Good. You are not the kind of guy who's gonna back down to somebody on the internet.
But I thought about it, and I thought like
I thought about it.
I'm providing him a service. Like, he could be in therapy because my initial reaction is like, this is a video
game. You think sometimes
game.
He thinks about all the shots you missed, and he's like,
yeah, he saved the replay and like watches it over and over to get
he
himself.
He uploaded it to YouTube to his channel.
I hope so. Maybe we can Google Bruce Beanstein Rocket League and see how bad I was. And, you know, I thought about uninstalling, but I also thought, like, he needed to vent. And I'm calling him a he.
So you didn't respond at all.
That could have been a woman.
You didn't respond at all in your quick chat?
Well, I didn't really know how to respond, except for quick chats. And there weren't many, like, this, like sorry, or like the
puppy
like
dog
expletive.
With your tail between your legs.
Well, I wanted to, like,
kissing on itself on its back.
I had more to say than, like, good game, or, like, well played. Like, I had more to say.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I didn't have the opportunity or know how to type to this person because...
So you just didn't respond?
I thought about responses.
Oh, wow.
And,
good for you. I think that's the strong thing to do.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel bad for him, and I don't remember his name, but I hope I see him again sometime.
No, because you didn't engage him in some kind of conflict. Like, you did not need to be sorry, but you also didn't need to defend yourself.
I had fun. Like, I had fun playing it, though. It was very, like, it was a very, like, fun thing to be with a skilled player.
Yeah.
So that was that. That's it.
What was his name? Or
that's
her name.
I don't remember. And I,
oh, okay.
I'm
I thought
sorry
you had
about
it drawn
that.
Up there.
I do remember I did play with my friends one time, and we played against a guy named Crop Dustin. And
no,
I thought
I like
that was a pretty funny name.
That you had it.
And he was good at flying
that's
his car
like
into
Kit,
the ball.
Kit Crashers.
That'll come back later, so let's leave that one
okay.
alone. But I was playing Fortnite with my friend Jake, which is also another online competitive game.
Mm-hmm.
And he got killed by someone, and it just flashed on the screen, XX Pussy X Lover 69 XX.
Whoa.
Pussy Lover 69. And I was like, wow, that's...
And straight edge.
Yeah. They just totally, like, it was crazy to see that flash across the screen.
Whoa, yeah.
Didn't like, you think they wouldn't allow that on this game that, you know, is being played by children worldwide.
Maybe it's just the person who likes cats, like, owns 69 mm-hmm. cats.
What game was it?
Fortnite. I'm glad.
It's also a popular one, too.
Oh, okay.
Like,
very
it's
popular.
It's like Rocket League.
It's,
more popular, maybe.
So while we talk about this, Meg, do you want to be the next one to collect twigs to throw in the fire?
Oh, sure. I actually, yeah, I'm going to do that anyway. I'm going to check on the kids, too.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, the Crop Dustin, though, I thought was pretty funny because he was really good at flying. And I thought he would say something like, don't ever challenge Crop Dustin to an air fight.
Crop like, Dustin.
Yeah.
I worked with a gentleman at Radio Shack, my second job. His name was Justin Vest.
Mm-hmm.
And it was,
oh, nice.
Yeah, it was Justin Vest.
Yeah.
And so it was...
Yeah, those names are pretty funny.
Yeah. I also went to school with an Andrew Dick, and that wasn't very cool.
Andrew Dice Dick. Oh boy, Andrew Dick. I had a friend named. I still have a friend. His name is Dustin Tickler Reed, and he had a grandfather named Richard Tickler.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that NASCAR racer Dick Trickle.
That's and a NASCAR racer.
That's
I thought
a NASCAR.
He was like a sports announcer.
No, no, no.
Maybe
he announces
my,
now.
Maybe in my time, yeah.
No, no, no. He was a NASCAR racer when I was a kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Dick Trickle.
Huh.
I should go get some of his NASCARs. In fact, I recently bought a Speedy Gonzalez NASCAR. I'm not going to lie.
Arriba.
Yeah. It's become a kitchen slogan for me and my compadres. We are most certainly going to starve. We like to think that's what they're saying outside when tickets start to pile up.
They're so hungry.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Let's pause it. Take a break.
Okay,
we'll
sounds
come back
good.
Refreshed.
Awesome.
And we're back.
Ooh. Ooh. Was that you, Satan?
I thought
Satan,
it was sexy old
here.
Dracula.
We are back from a break. Like, that's how he talks.
Welcome back to TBS Up All Night.
I think,
and he probably makes, like, puns, like... Don't.
Are we just basing this on the Count Dracula?
Chocula?
No, Count
maybe.
Von Count.
Oh, from, yeah.
The Muppets? No, Sesame Street?
Sesame Street.
Yeah.
He's a Muppet.
I think it's just
he is a Muppet.
The Count.
Count Von Count is
he's
his
the
name,
best example of a Dracula.
I read a book recently starring Count Von Count where all the Sesame Street characters we know and love go to the Count's house for a counting party.
He lives
oh
in a house?
God. Like, I thought you were talking about a real-ass book and you're talking about a kid's book. Like, why was I duped?
An amazing novel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like,
I knew from the moment she said...
Yeah, yeah, no, I don't know how I got duped, because I've read the book, too.
Oh, so we're supposed to go to Santa's Hat.
Ooh, back to Santa's Hat.
Town of drunk drivers.
Right, okay, so the history, the Catalina's. Brief history is, yeah, Rhonda Carrots moved there when she was a teenager and was, like, into taxidermy, and then the town turned out to be founded by aliens, and the aliens created this pumpkin spice moonshine that was so addicting that everyone's just always drunk when they drive.
Okay, but what? Oh, so that's like a basis of the town.
That's the town, yeah.
Okay, so specifically about Rhonda Carrots, our leading Would you call it an ingenue? I guess that's the name of the actress.
I don't know. Angelou?
You
like ingenue. Maya Angelou?
A young ingenue. But that means actually an actress. It doesn't. She's not an actress. She's
Rhonda Carrots has been the star of the last two scenes.
She has no parents.
And Rhonda Carrots has no parents. Last three, because like we made up the story. Desi made up the story of Rhonda Carrots.
Okay. Is she?
Well, right now she's in our last story. She was a young mother with her baby daddy was married to somebody else, and then he died or turned into a cockroach. In the last episode.
He also, Gary Gasoline died.
But Rhonda Carrots, she's got the baby.
Does the child have a name?
DeWalk was the...
Nephew.
The nephew.
Or niece.
Okay. Yeah, there was no name for the child, but...
Yeah, I don't think there was.
And then we also
I think this maybe should be where our story picks up.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So, like,
with
the name of the
child... The young son, Kit Basher.
Oh, nice.
Kit
Basher.
No way.
Yeah, there's a reason we didn't give him a name.
So also, this year on the podcast, we introduced a character called Selma Lynn Jawson. And I want everyone to remember her very clearly. She would say all of her numbers regularly, and then the number 9 would be like very like nine. And
she's a telephone operator, right? Doesn't she?
I think she works the front desk at a dental hygienist clinic.
Okay.
Or I think she is a dental hygienist.
Is she?
Yeah.
She,
maybe not. Maybe you're right. Maybe
I think
she
seems
to have
and I were
a
arguing
higher
about
position.
That.
Seems like a lot of speculation here.
Yeah, I don't quite remember.
I mean, we can just
but
say
she was
what
such
it,
a vivid character. We could go back and listen to her episode for backstory, but
well,
I want Selma Lynn I want Selma Lynn to
right
make
now.
An appearance in this story.
Oh,
yeah, Selma
yes,
Lynn Jawson.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I think
she's a receptionist. If I recall correctly, she's a receptionist.
So, at this point.
So are
career,
you saying,
yeah.
Do you think she has a secret history of, like, her persona is completely fake and she had a totally different life that she left? Like, maybe she's even in the witness protection program.
Selma Lynn?
Yeah.
Jawson?
Oh, man.
Because she has that bit of an accent that only comes out when she says
nine.
And why is it the number 9 that
oh,
she has
well,
an
I see
accent
what you're saying.
On?
Yeah, that's good. That's good, like, speculation on her backstory.
Ooh, I just got chills when I thought about why she still has her previous accent.
It's because she's from Santa's
9.
Hat. And, you know.
She's from Santa's Hat?
Well, yeah,
Santa's
exactly.
Hat, they have an accent.
This
like
will
that?
Be the first born and raised Santa's Hattian.
Exactly.
And the Kit Basher?
Kit Basher is the second son of Santa's Hat.
Oh, man. I mean, that
no,
we're
he
familiar
totally
with.
Is. He totally is.
Because
Gary Gasly
you know,
owned that town.
Once you get into Santa's Hat, getting out is so difficult.
Yeah, it's kind of a friendly town, despite all the weird stuff that happens there. I think they have, you know, they have, like, festivals and
a high school.
Farmers markets.
She goes by Selma Lynn Jawson, but I think her name is actually Selma Lynn Basher.
What?
They're
wait, how did Kit even get the last name Basher?
Yeah.
It's,
because Rhonda
wait.
Carrots is his
yeah.
mom and
Gary
Gasoline is his dad.
Right.
How
was
did
Rhonda
he get
married?
Basher?
No.
No,
Gary
remember
Gasoline.
Gary Gasoline was he had the same muddy brown eyes.
Is DeWalk out of the picture?
Or oily brown greasy brown
greasy
eyes.
Brown eyes. I do remember that. I took offense to that for a while because I was like I have brown eyes, Safi has brown eyes.
Well this story is about how like, they were how separated from Rhonda Carrots. And given the last name Basher.
Yeah, I think...
Oh, my gosh. Is she, like, his adopted mother? Like, Rhonda was so devastated from the loss of Gary that she could no longer... She put her child up for adoption?
Oh, man.
Oh,
and
my
like,
gosh. I did not want that fate for Rhonda, but it seems like that's what happened.
Desi, if you're listening, you can change this.
It sounds like someone's also speculating once again. You're really filling in some plot holes here.
Well, I think that's what
I
we're doing
like
today. We're fleshing out
happened.
The plot.
Like I had no control over it.
Yeah,
it's just there
because they're trying to get desperately out of Santa's Hat.
Okay,
I it having the aura of being the
first. Or maybe something happened to Rhonda. We all know she has no parents.
It was her and apparently neither do the Basher children, because she was lost trying to get them out of Santa's hat. There was a rift in the ground.
Oh, okay. So,
and there was an
earthquake tore the ground apart.
You can't prepare for that.
And she had to throw the children across the gap.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Wait, who threw them? Rhonda?
Rhonda Carrots did.
Oh, this happened in the this happened in Sharoma's parents did this. Or no, like Fanyo's parents.
It was Fanyo's parents. There was an earthquake.
There was a lava flow in that one, but yeah. And
because of the mystical forces of Santa's hat, right as she got to the edge of town, a rift opened up, the ground started to crack, and the only way she could get the babies out, the Carrots children.
Right, the Carrot Child. Well, the Carrot Child. The one Carrot Child, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't
so
children.
Did somebody... Okay,
I guess it
so
could be
somebody,
twins.
Well, what was the other one?
Surprise twins? What's Rosin's former name? The Bashes?
Because you said there was two children. There was...
No, just
Kid no, there's
Basher.
Just one
child. Who else was born in Santa's
DeWalk
hat?
Oh, DeWalk is a
oh, nephew. There was somebody else who was the first... Kid was the first child of Santa's hat, but there was somebody else that we mentioned before that. That was born in not born in Santa's hat. Who was it?
I don't know.
Shit.
Man. We'll have to re-listen to the earlier part of this episode.
Yeah, luckily we're going to be redoing it in a sound play in a couple of weeks.
Well, no,
yeah.
You said Summerlin Jawson was born in Santa's hat. That's the other
Oh,
person.
Yeah, that is the
oh,
other.
Right,
that's
right,
why her
right.
last name had to be changed.
It's not it's Basher?
It's Basher was their original name.
Oh, okay.
So, but he's never called Kit Basher then, though. He's just called Kit. And
just
then
Kit.
Rosin. He goes by Kit Rosin.
What is Rosin his middle name?
No, Sarah, Selma Lynn adopted
Selma
him.
Selma Lynn Rosin. Yeah.
Jocelyn.
Jocelyn?
Jocelyn. Selma Lynn Jocelyn.
Selma Lynn Jocelyn.
Adopted.
So is he Kit Jocelyn? But he's actually Kit Briggs, but he's actually...
Okay, Selma Lynn adopted Kit from the aftermath of Rhonda... jumping over the break in the ground.
Throwing
and
Kit
tossed
across.
Kit across, and like he was just there in the field, like landed in a field of flowers.
And
she's
I feel like she would have had to steal him, though, because Rhonda would have Rhonda would eventually be able to pass the rift.
Well,
right?
She's trying desperately to get out
she
of Santa's hat.
Yeah.
Like she's trying to leave Santa's hat.
And
it's
Rhonda's,
like Groundhog's Day. Like,
and no, as she does,
blocks.
The ground tears apart. And she throws young Kit across, and that's as Selma Lynn picks him up. And she's like, "What's your name?" And he goes, "Kit." Kit. And she's like, "Ah, we'll call you Kit Basher."
Oh. And Rhonda's presumed dead at this point, maybe. Like, Rhonda doesn't,
she just has
doesn't
to go,
look
no,
like
she
makes it.
She just has
it.
To go back to Santa's hat. She defeatedly walks back.
Well, hold
toward
on.
Santa's hat.
That doesn't make sense, though, because Selma Lynn is a Santa's hat native.
Yeah, well, it was Santa's hat. Now it broke off into its own thing.
Back into the other side of the fog.
I see. So Santa's hat divided.
Yeah.
Selma Lynn knew...
Like
to
our country.
For, she was drawn...
Oh, my gosh.
Selma Lynn was drawn back to the void that is Santa's hat for some reason. So she drives her car there. And as she gets there, the ground is separating, and this child is flying
right.
through the fog, lands on the ground on a nice mildewy patch of mushrooms, you know.
Oh, I said
and
flowers.
With a nice thud, you know, a nice mm-hmm. thwop, and she's like, oh, here, who is this child? And he goes, Kit.
Right, we got it. Okay, so she's got Kit. I don't think we need to expose any more of that.
You're taking the villain aspect away from
here's what's happening,
Mary Lou.
Though.
Is that her name?
Selma Lynn Jawson? Are you from fucking Santa's hat?
Let's back up for a second.
Yeah.
We don't need to rehash.
Selma Lynn.
We don't
That's
need
a really
to rehash.
Hard time
we don't need to rehash. We need to like start from where we're at. The town is divided into two by this like huge rift.
But
into two, just away from society.
Her adoption,
Rhonda's
Selma Lynn. Her adoption of Kit was in no way malicious. It was just like I found a necessity baby. Okay.
There's East Santa's hat and West Santa's hat.
Ooh, I like that.
Almost like the Berlin Wall. And in East Santa's hat, Selma Lynn has Kit.
Okay.
In West Santa's hat, Rhonda Carrots is trying to find a way to get out of Santa's hat. Also trying to get her baby back.
Okay.
Was that a rooster? Did you hear a rooster for a second?
No, I didn't hear a rooster.
All right. So that's where we start.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay. So we got to creep this up. It's not creepy at all.
So well, there's a whole
Rhonda
reason that...
also has superpowers and can read... minds or something?
She can communicate with dead animals.
Exactly.
Right, she can talk to taxidermy.
Also, the supernatural part is the fact that Selma Lynn Jawsen is being drawn like out of her normal life to the creeping void as the two part of the town is separating.
And can she... I was thinking maybe she could either walk across the void or drive across the void without... incident, like she could actually just
she can definitely at the end of the story she drives her sedan across the void like she's not
expecting it, but how did she get in the first time
but maybe Kit has like flotation powers, like because he's the son of Rhonda who has powers.
I'm really confused.
Kit
as well,
Kit's Rhonda and Gary's son. Gary turned into a cockroach. Maybe not an appearance. The only reason that Kit makes it across the void, like it's like too far of a gap, like nobody could jump across it,
it separates at the beginning of our story.
Yeah,
it wasn't originally there, and he's thrown as it's separating,
but he like no normal person could throw that far, and so there's something suspicious
by Rhonda
about
Carrots,
right?
Yeah, because she winds him up like a football. She like and
Tom Brady style.
Yeah, and he spins. He spirals in the air.
I think there's something special about Kit, though. Like he's got.
Wait, nobody caught him. He just landed on that mushroom.
But it's such a perfect spiral that you're like, where did she learn to throw a baby in a spiral like that?
I think Kit's got the power of levitation. Let's just give it to him.
And she used to be a quarterback for the Miami Dolphins.
I mean, I could give that to Rhonda, but I don't think, like...
we don't need more Rhonda backstory, I don't think. Yeah. We've got a lot of it.
I think that's how the papers maybe describe it. Like, she can throw a ball, but really what it was is that Kit can float.
Kit can float, totally.
And
they got to spin it in a way.
Oh, yeah, he has telekinesis. He can move anything with his mind. And just in that instance, it was himself.
Right. I think...
So with their powers combined, he sailed across the void.
Selma Lynn Jawsen and Kit Basher?
Yeah, I think Kit...
No, Rhonda and Kit.
No, Kit sailed across the void.
Right.
Rhonda stayed on the West Germany side.
I think also Eddie took away her special powers, too.
Oh, you took away Rhonda's?
No, Rhonda can communicate with taxidermy.
Oh, okay. I was also giving her the superpower of being able to throw
her
baby.
We didn't talk about that.
She could.
Like she,
we didn't talk
she
about
played
that
in
she
the
could
league.
Talk to taxidermy, but that's good.
She could talk to
taxidermy. Now we revealed that she talks to taxidermy as well, which is fantastic. But anyways, on to Kit Basher. He sails across the void.
He needs to be like sentient, a talking person. Like at this
point, he's like Kit, and
that's fine. No,
he's like a Pokemon.
He's a little small child as he sails across the void, levitation. But now that he is in West Santa's hat,
he's in East now.
And now that he's in East Santa's hat, he starts to age very rapidly.
Mm. Yikes!
I like it.
He sails across at like a year old child. And then by the next dawn, he's 3.
Yeah,
oh,
I like it.
No.
I like it. He's fast aging, so this has to wrap up quickly.
Well, there's something about going... Maybe it's something about crossing the void.
Exactly. That it starts to make him...
And there's something about the void
that
itself.
The thing is Kit Basher
is
slowly
New England, right?
Growing back into Gary Gasoline.
No, not Gary.
Back to Gary.
Oh my gosh.
Now that
haunting image.
Yeah, now that he's
Gary is our all-time evildoer.
You didn't know whether he was going to be a cockroach or a human being. It turns out he's just a long-lived cockroach human.
Okay.
Oh man.
So that's with the
Oh man, do you think like the cockroach Gary like climbed up and inhabited his son's body to make this symbiotic
relationship. I honestly think Rhonda was
turning
the people into cockroaches, though. Like, didn't Gary use Rhonda to turn people into cockroaches?
Oh yeah, like, I forgot about that. Like,
it's an inside conspiracy that she helped perpetuate.
She's a witch.
She brought Gary back onto Earth, and now that he's back, she's thrown the baby back across. He's able to inhabit this child. It starts as a cockroach, but if he's in there for more than 14 months, he's able to take over the child completely.
I don't even understand what you're talking about.
No, Rhonda was so wrought with
remorse
and missing Gary that she like helped him come back and inhabit her son, because she's like, I would rather have Gary than this baby.
But there's also a ritual that she might be able to perform to separate the two.
She discovers his cockroach corpse and has it taxidermied.
No, I think they find she can communicate. Oh, and then she talks to him.
Exactly. And that's how she finds out.
Once he's taxidermied.
She talks to the taxidermied
like they stuff
roach
it with
of
cotton.
Gary Gasoline, and that's how she finds out about this pact.
Right. That'll be like way the reveal or something.
Yeah, that's the big reveal.
Because I don't
want to
do Gary. Like, Gary Gasoline is like a character inside of me that I don't want to bring back out.
You're going to have to do it at the very end, though, because they're going to think that they've banished Gary Gasoline away from Kit Basher. But at the very end, you find out that Kit Basher's voice is Gary Gasoline's. Because she thinks that she can do a ritual to separate her son, Kit Basher, from Gary Gasoline.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
She performs this, and she tries, but there's not a willing person to put the other.
Okay, we need more Selma Lynn, though, because, like, Rhonda.
Oh, now I'm thinking Selma Lynn is like
the
heroine in some way.
She's the one who's trying to save Kit Basher
and
from
I think she succeeds.
This is the episode
where I want her to succeed.
This is the episode where Rhonda kind of turns, like, she's had so much trauma in her life without, you know, being a latchkey.
Right. And no parents, and then Gary.
And then Gary dying and being left with this, you know, illegitimate child. So anyway, she's turning into a villain.
She makes what we call a heel turn.
I love the heel turn. Because Rhonda is the baby face, and we need to like capitalize
on
that.
And that's why Selma Lynn comes in as the face. She comes in as the baby face to save Kit Basher from this terrible fate.
But also the question is, like, what is the magic? Where is the magic coming from that is trying to keep Rhonda in? Like,
where she's channeling it from?
I think that also lies in Selma Lynn's origin as a Basher and not a Jawsen.
Uh-huh.
And the Bashers are the, like, maybe alien spawn of the town.
Oh, my gosh. You know?
And they're
like,
also the ones who are making the pumpkin spice.
Yeah, it's the original inhabitants, like, of the town.
And, like, the pumpkin spice. Like, they call them Bashers because they were the ones who would, like, masticate pumpkin spice originally.
I think there's...
Yeah, because they're bash pumpkins.
Yeah.
Just like the smashing pumpkins.
And no, they're actually bashing, like, nutmeg, cinnamon, and
he's making, like, a jerking off motion with his hands.
And clove, dickhead. And then they're
but
making
he ha-
pumpkin
I mean,
spice.
I could see the... I could clearly see
mortar
the mortar
and pestle.
Like... But that looks... I think you got to do like this, though. Like, you need to do some stirring. You were doing a lot of, like...
What kind of jerking off is that as well?
This,
like,
is what you were doing.
Okay, now that he's
because you were bashing.
Before
you were bashing.
He was, like, erratically
but the Bashers.
Smushy.
Yeah, you need to massage it.
Because
if it's, like, leaves, you got to drag it across the bottom of the mortar.
I wish... We'll need
this
a,
is like
we
the Howard
video.
Stern show right now. I know that's why they got a camera in the studio.
That is, that's a good point. I mean, people wish they could be at this campfire podcast.
They sure do. This is nice.
Anyways,
I love the smell.
Sure do.
So they're desperately trying to save Kit Basher, and there's this ritual.
Who is trying to save him?
Rhonda? Selma Lynn Jawsen.
Yeah.
Selma Lynn Basher.
But Selma Lynn is in custody. Like, she owns
Yeah, but
Kip.
He already has the cockroach implanted inside of him. Because
he's aging rapidly.
She's like, what is happening to him?
And she can already tell.
He's aging like a cockroach. Like,
he's aging into, turning into Gary.
She looked through this scrapbook, and she saw all about Gary Gasoline.
Right.
And she could see that he has this birthmark of a pair of dice on the back of his neck that formed right behind his ear.
I can't believe you haven't listened to last year's podcast because this is so in line with that.
But anyways, she starts to see that same birthmark form on the back of Kit Basher's head. And she's like, and plus she's getting incessant letters from Rhonda Carrots about Kit.
Okay. Wait, they can come past... Letters can come through the void?
Well, letters can.
I think the newspaper.
Yeah. Right. And so that's when Rhonda's like, fuck this, and just hits the gas in her Plymouth fucking Voyager and drives across the void in Santa's hat.
West Santa's hat. That's Rhonda's in West Santa's hat. Selma's in East.
Exactly.
And she drives across the void from right to left.
Kit Basher, she's trying to get Kit Basher back so that she can perform the ritual.
And so that she Kit's in the car seat in the back seat because he's the one who actually can levitate.
Well, okay, so who is in possession of Kit?
Selma Lynn.
Yeah, and Rhonda drives across the void so that she can get there before Kit Basher.
Oh, I thought Selma Lynn drove across the void.
I thought Selma Lynn drove across the void, too, because the void was created to keep Rhonda back.
Yeah.
I see. And so she has to get in so she can undo the ritual that is happening. Like, she needs to...
But Rhonda wants Kit. Rhonda also wants to get out of Santa's hat.
We'll have to figure all this out.
Yeah.
Well, how much time do we have? I mean, I can wrap it all up right now for you. I know these loose ends. Yeah,
no,
fine.
I just feel like we can leave some for us to figure out off air. So then there's like, oh, how did they solve all this?
Nobody listens to this podcast. Everyone listens to the next one, right?
I don't know. I think some people might want to be there to spitfire, you know?
If you're listening and you've got any ideas, just give us a call.
Yeah, we're going to write this thing. So
call my phone.
Or go, do we have a Facebook you could go on and write some stuff that you want to see happen in this
Tweet at us at Athens Public. World. And, you know, like, even if you get there late, listen to this podcast, think about it. We've got 2 weeks to write, so we could change it up based on suggestions.
Are we writing
the
next week as well?
We got two weeks to write.
Oh, I just figured.
This one, this story is going to be uncontrollable, everyone, like off the rails.
Do we need 2 weeks? Because I was thinking we could even try to pre-record some stuff.
Homage to last year's podcast, which is very important for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
So we will bring.
I think I want Dr.
dedication.
Sharp to maybe tie up the loose ends that we might have.
We'll talk with her.
Rhonda is really her character. So she's going to have a lot to say about
Rhonda.
Yeah,
so she will listen to this and we'll tie up these loose ends and you guys will get the finest show on earth short of Barnum and Bailey.
I don't know how to make a better synopsis for what's about to happen to you, but these podcasts are...
Wait, what? That what was about to happen to us?
No, this was the one I tried to play. It starts with an S. The annual Campfire podcast has concluded. The annual radio play will be in 2 weeks. I think email us at athenspublic@gmail.com with your thoughts on this episode, anything you'd like to see in the final production. Tweet at us at Athens Public, 706-521-3716. Leave us your thoughts. Leave us, like, impressions of characters. Like, maybe we can incorporate sound effects that you leave on the line into the play. If you know about this podcast, you know this is like a really fun time, so participate. Why not?
Yeah, thanks.
And we appreciate you listening, and we'll talk to you next week. We'll pretend like none of this happened next week.
Yeah.
Okay.